1 Samuel chapter number 13 this evening. 1 Samuel chapter number 13. Thank you, Pastor, for letting us come by. We also have enjoyed the good fellowship, great meal, and just a pleasure to be around this place. My mom keeps us up on all the news at First Baptist Church, and we're thankful for that. Y'all treat her pretty kind and pretty decent. And we love you because of that. Amen. And I've known her all my life. She's just been a blessing to me. Amen. Really has. We need something in this day and age that's going to cause us to get our heads up.
Come on.
Instead of looking down.
Right.
And focus our attention on what's out in front of us.
Right.
I think it's very important. Give you this illustration, then we'll read the scripture. Our oldest son passed away when he was 9, and he died in an epileptic seizure. Born with epilepsy and has had it all of his life. And he got saved 8 days before he died, so we have much to be thankful for tonight. And we were members at Bethel Baptist Church over in Grapevine, Texas at that time. I canceled about 2 months of revival meetings. I just couldn't go preach. You don't understand, then you don't understand, but I just couldn't. And we moved out of the bus into a little mission house, and I mean a little mission house. It's not any bigger than this platform. And we had 2 other children. Lester, our daughter, was 7, and Brad, our youngest son, was 5. He's now our pastor. He's 40 years old. And nearly every evening, I don't think they planned it this way, but someone would drop by the house and we'd sit and talk a while. They were coming by to encourage us, just have fellowship. It didn't mean as much to me then as it does to me now, because when grief comes in, it takes over all the emotions in your life. It really does. And it's hard to find anything other than grief in your life. And a couple came by one afternoon, and evening actually was. Leslie and Brad went into the bedroom. They always did. This couple came in, and we sat and talked a little while. I don't know how long we talked, but out of the corner of my eye, I saw our 2 remaining children. They had been in the living room with us there playing games. We'd been having family time. When the couple came, they went in there. I looked in there, and both of them were sitting on the edge of the bed. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, "Now you're looking behind you at something that you can't change. And you got something out here in front of you that you can do something about." And that was the moment that God began to put my heart back together. It gave me a desire to get back out on the road and go. We did grieve over what happened, but I can't change that. There's some things that's happened in America. We can't change that right now. Maybe the time will come in the future when we can change that, but right now there isn't anything. But I find as I go across the country that folk have got their heads down over what's happened. We need to lift up our eyes.
Amen.
In 1 Samuel chapter number 13, you got that? I gave you plenty of time to find that. Just a little history. Saul has not been king but for a very short period of time. And he came in with a very meek and mild spirit. When it come time for Samuel to anoint Saul to be the king, they couldn't find him. Bible said he was hid among the stuff. When he stood up, he's head and shoulders above any man in the kingdom. He's a giant himself. But he comes in with a meek and mild spirit, and it is not long till he's taking on more responsibilities than it is his responsibility to take. The first part of Samuel 13, he's supposed to meet with Samuel. They're going to battle against the Philistines. Samuel does not come at the time appointed, and Saul makes a sacrifice that is not his responsibility to make. And Samuel comes to him and said, "Because of this, God's rent the kingdom from your hand." He had the intention to establish your kingdom forever. But because you have usurped your authority and stepped out of line, God's going to give it to someone else. And so he's left. He had about 3,000 in verse number 15. And Samuel arose and gathered him from Gilgal unto Gibeah of Benjamin, and Saul numbered the people that were present with him, about 600 men. So there's been about 2,400 that have drifted off from him. Verse 16, and Saul and Jonathan his son, and the people that were present with him, abode in Gibeah of Benjamin, but the Philistines encamped in Michmash. The spoilers came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. One company turned to the way that leads to Ophrah, unto the land of Sheol. Another company turned the way to Beth Horon. Another company turned to the way of the border that looked into the valley of Zeboam toward the wilderness. Now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. But all the Israelites went down the Philistines to sharpen every man his share, and his coulter, and his axe, and his mattocks. Yet they had a file for the mattocks, for the coulters, and for the forks, and for the axes, and to sharpen the goads. So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people. There was Saul and Jonathan, but with Saul and with Jonathan's son, his son, was there found. And the garrison of the Philistines went out to the passage of Michmash. Father, would you help us this evening? Lord, we lean on you for what you'll do. Lord, we know that without you it will be sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. Father, I pray that you'll open our understanding tonight. Lord, that you'll open our eyes to see and our hearts to understand what you have for us. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. So when it comes time to go to battle, they got 602 soldiers, 600 men, and Jonathan and Saul. When they get ready to go to battle, there are two swords among 602 soldiers. Why? Because the Bible tells us in verse number 19, there was no smith found in the land. The smith it's talking about, of course, is the blacksmith. They are the ones, and there was probably more than one, and probably, in fact, there's probably several of them. But they were the ones responsible for making swords, spears, shields, and bows and arrows, all the armament that the soldiers needed to go into battle. So there's no smiths found in the land. The smiths was the ones that made the weapons. That's about where we are today in America. We don't have many smiths left in the land. Got three thoughts I share with you by way of illustration. Preacher said it at the hour that a trap door opens and they have alligators in here. He didn't say that. I lied about that. I want you to notice, first of all, the art of the smith. The art of the smith. It takes a special somebody to have the patience and intelligence and skills to build a sword. I've never had a desire to build a sword. Never had a desire to do that. I don't want to fight with a sword. I want to fight with something that will reach out and get them quite a ways off. Do I need to go further than that? You understand what I'm saying? I'll reach out and touch them. If they're way off, I want to leave them alone. I don't want to mess with them. Amen. But I've never had a desire to build a sword, but I got to thinking about how to do it. So if you go on this you thing, what's it you? YouTube. You go on there, isn't this amazing? And you put build a sword, there'll be video after video after video of people building swords. Not now, don't look at it now. No, wait a later. So I just picked one. One didn't matter to me which one. I just picked one. This guy, I think the video was 7 or 8 minutes long, but it was speed photography. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, to speed it up. And it took him, looked to me, like 3 days because he kept changing clothes. I noticed that. But he took this piece of steel or iron, whatever it was, and he began to cut it, and he began to beat it, and he began to heat it. He began to cool it. And he would beat it some more, and then he would heat it some more, and he poured what I thought was oil on it, and he kept beating and heating and cutting and sharpening until finally at the end of the video, he had a sword, he cut a watermelon in half to show how sharp it was. Never had a desire to do that. Takes a real art to do that. I got all I can do rebuilding Bibles. That's what God's given me, and I'm glad to do it. I love doing it. I enjoy doing it. But I have no desire to build a sword. The art of the smith. Look, not everybody can be a pastor.
Amen.
Amen, Brother Harold, that's right. Y'all sit there like a bump on a pickle. I'll say amen to myself.
Amen.
How would you like to pastor a whole bunch of folk just like you? Just that. We just have the invitation right now. Amen. I mean, everybody came to church with the same sweet spirit you come. The same good attitude you come with. The same excitement that you come to church with. How would you like to pastor a bunch of people? It takes a special person to build a church. Now, just about anybody can tear one up. Amen. And you need to pray for your pastor.
Amen.
It's not easy to build a church. You got to put a lot of labor and time in it. You got to put a lot of prayer and consideration into it. You've got to see God's face about what to preach, when to preach it, and how you're going to present it. A lot of work. There's an art to being a pastor. There's an art to being a pastor's wife. It's hard to be a pastor. In my opinion, it would be harder to be a pastor's wife. She's got to be perfect. She can't be too old or too young. She can't wear dress too short or too long. It's got to be perfect for everybody. Just as I... We have some ministries in the Philippines and in Vietnam. In Vietnam, we have, I think, seven or eight churches. We have the central church, and we started six satellite churches out of that. Well, the Vietnamese government had been going in and getting these young Vietnamese preacher boys and putting them in prison. Because that's what communists do. And we may be heading that way right here in the good old USA one of these days. And so these young preacher boys, being what preacher boys do, they got in prison, they started preaching. They said, we can't have that. So they turned the boys loose and went and got their wives and put them in prison. See, the devil, the Philistines, pretty smart. Don't ever think your enemy's not smart. Satan caught a big fish the first time he cast the net, the line. He caught Eve, and he got Adam. He's not changed the bait since then. And the devil wants your pastor. Because if he can get this pastor, you'll eventually get another one, but it's going to cripple this deal for a while. And there's going to be some folk that drop by the wayside that's never coming back. Even when you get a new guy in there, they're not coming back.
Amen.
But the devil knows if he can't get the pastor, if he can get his wife, he's accomplished about the same thing. So there's the art. Listen, there's an art to being a Sunday school teacher. I saw him coming out this morning, you know, out from the... Sunday school rooms, and it seemed like a lot of them, amen. And so I don't see very many of them back tonight. So you got about, what, 40, 45 minutes on a Sunday morning to counteract everything they've seen on television, all the cursing and violence that goes on in a home, all the arguments, all the anger, all the harsh words. You got about 40, 45 minutes to fashion and build something in those children that's going to last them when they get out away from you. The art. Takes a special daddy to build a child. About any young man can father a child. It takes more than that to be the daddy you ought to be. There's got to be some chastening, and there's got to be some love. It takes both of them. There's got to be some correction. There's got to be some love. There's got to be some example in your life, because it's not so much what you tell them to do, but what they see you do that they're going to emulate and copy. It takes a special dad to be a godly Christian daddy. It takes a special mother. I'm talking about the art of building something. The smith built the sword. But mamas build families. Daddies build families. Sunday school teachers and pastors build the church. Amen. I'm talking about the art of the smith. I mean, it takes a special lady to build a godly family. The foolish woman plucketh her house down. You can tear your house down, lady, or you can build it up. I remember when way back my dad was going to Bible college here in town and working for a Foremost Dairy Company or Oak Farms, doesn't matter, same deal. Both of them had milk. He'd get up early in the morning and run the milk route and take a change of clothes and often change his clothes and go straight out to Bible college in the evening, taking evening classes. There's been many times I'd get up in the morning, he'd already be gone. I'd go to bed at night, he hadn't even come in yet. So mom took the place in the home that needed to be taken. She took in ironing. I don't know how poor we were. Enough that mom had to take in ironing. And she would stand at that ironing board for hours at a time, ironing those clothes on the end of the ironing board. I couldn't even see up over the edge of it. Her Bible was open. And before I could learn to read or even see up over the edge of that board, I could quote the third chapter of Daniel, because mama beat something into me and sharpened me. You listen to what I'm saying? I'm preaching to a lot of grandparents here this evening. Your children are gone. They're out there. They are what they are right now, and they're probably not going to change. God can move in their lives and change them. That you can't limit God, but they probably just about are what they are. But you got some grandkids coming up. You got some great-grandkids coming up. And I want to tell you, you need to pour Jesus in them every chance you get. Buy them birthday presents that reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. Buy them gospel music. Buy them, if they're little, buy them the right kind of coloring books that teach them the Bible. Are you listening to me? And sing gospel songs into their ears and play gospel music and tell them Bible stories and somehow or another beat the Lord and the Bible into those grandkids. Amen. The art of the smith. Well, let's move on to the second one. That didn't go too good. The art of the smith. Number two, the absence of the smith. I've already got on this a little bit. And I said, don't ever look at your enemy and think he's not smart. Because the Philistines discovered something. We don't have to take out all the Israelites. We don't have to take out the whole army. We can just take out the smiths. Then they won't have anything to fight with. They'll be out there throwing rocks at us while we got bows and arrows and spears and swords. You listen to me? So what did the Philistines do? They came in and took out. You say, how do you know? Well, look down here at me. Verse number 19 or some number. The light in here is lousy. It can't be my eyes. It's got to be. Verse 19. There was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. And it seems to me like they said, we're taking them out because we don't want them making swords or spears. It looked to me like the enemy took them out. That's the way I read that. The absence of the smith. When you got a lack of weapons, you got a lack of warriors. We were in Romania for a long time. The Lord let us open up three orphans' homes there and three gypsy churches. We'd fly into Budapest, Hungary, and we had to go by car from Hungary over to Romania. It's about a four-hour trip, depending on how many laws you broke. And I had a fella that we'd hired to come and get us, and I paid him to come and get us and take us back. We was going back to Budapest to get on the plane. He is a very well-educated man. He could speak two or three languages and was driving a car for money. And that's communism for you. And the subject got on guns somehow or another. And he said, do you have, I hear Americans have guns. Do you have a gun? I said, well, I've got several. He said, well, do you have any bullets? I said, a gun that doesn't have a bullet is a rock. That's all you can do is throw it at somebody. He said, I never thought about that. You see, that's, well, never mind. I'm talking about the absence of the Smith. So now there's no weapons to fight with. The enemy's coming over the ridge with bows and arrows and shields and spears and swords. And the Israelites got two swords among 602 men. And they're throwing rocks. The absence of the Smith, a lack of weapons, produces limited warriors. When you got limited warriors, you got very little warfare going on. That's where we've come to in America. We've got very little warfare going on. The church is holding its own, and that's about all. We're not progressing into the enemy's territory much at all. We're just barely hanging on. Why? We don't have any Smiths. The absence of the Smith. Where are the sons of the Smiths? We've been on the road since 1973, and when we came on the road, revivals went 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Now it's just 4 days. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Or 5 days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's all folk can handle. Very little warfare going on. And in a two-week revival, you'd hardly ever go a revival you didn't see somebody get saved. I mean, just you could just count on it. And maybe we took it for granted because it doesn't happen like that much anymore. And about every third revival, you'd have a young man surrender his life to the ministry. I'll be a preacher. I'll be a missionary. I'll be whatever God wants me to be. Or a young lady come down and surrender her life to God. I'll be a pastor's wife or a missionary's wife, or I'll do something for God. But you don't see that hardly ever at all. Why? Because so much emphasis is put on the young people by parents and grandparents. Get a big education, get that college degree, and get a big job so you can take care of me when I'm old. They don't say that, but that's. And all the emphasis is put on business, and all the emphasis is put on the profession now, and very little emphasis is put on the ministry. As a result, we got no Smiths that are building churches and staying 30 years in Russia. I can't believe it. Listen to me. The absence of the Smith. They've been taken out. There's none left. I don't know whether they captured them or whether they killed them. But it's amazing to me that there was not one man that came to Saul, as far as we know, and said, Saul, I'm not a Smith. I'm a farmer. I raise taters. That's what I do. Right now, we don't need taters. We need swords. Though I've never built one, if you give me a shot, I'll do what I can. As far as we know, there wasn't one. There wasn't one fisherman that came to the king and said, sir, I catch fish. That's what I do. I've never built a spear, but if you'll give me a shot, whatever I build would be better than having anything. You know what we need? We need some folk that come and say to Brother Mosley, I never have sung in a choir, but if you give me a shot, amen, brother. Brother Moses, I've never taught a Sunday school class. I think it would scare me absolutely to death to be in there with a bunch of young'uns. But if you'll let me go in with some other teacher and sit 2 or 3 weeks and see how it goes on, maybe if someone can't get there on a Sunday, I could step in and fill the place. We've got an absence of Smiths, and nobody's stepping up to say, hey, I'll give her a shot. Might not be brother as good as brother so-and-so or as good as sister so-and-so, but me, with my desire, is better than not having anything. The art of the Smith, the absence of the Smith. I'm glad that we can minister online. I'm thankful. That's better than not doing anything. But I'm afraid that we're conditioning people not to ever come back to church. Just got comfortable in their pajamas and with a cup of coffee, and I just wonder how closely they're following the service when the Super Bowl's on or somebody texts them or call comes on. I'm not being critical. I'm just saying that I know me. And some folk have a hard time paying attention when they're sitting here and the preacher's spitting over the first three or four rows and, you know, ranting and raving, and it's still hard to follow along. The art of the Smith, the absence of the Smith. Notice the last thing, the apathy of not having a Smith. The apathy. What was their plan? What was the remedy for this? Look down at verse number 20. But all the Israelites went down the Philistine to sharpen every man his share, his coulter, and his axe. So what did they do? They went to the enemy for the solution for not having any smith. Instead of getting some smiths of their own, instead of going and rescuing these that may have been captured or if they've been killed to get somebody, they went to the enemy. That's what we've done. Well, what do you think about what the church ought to do? Huh? It's nobody's business what the church does.
Amen.
God and the church.
Amen.
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 What do you think about our school over here? Don't go to the enemy and ask them what they think. They are raising a bunch of heathens and drug addicts and gangbangers, and we don't need their advice because they've been a 100% failure. At what they've done. And yet the church is going to the world. So, you know, we raised three kids on a bus. Our son passed away, but raised two, and they both went to college, got a master's degree. And somebody said, Brother Harold, what does the state of Texas think about you educating your children on a bus? I said, I didn't ask the state of Texas. I didn't ask them. None of their business. Amen? Why do we need to go to the world? For the solution, the apathy, worldly remedies. Well, the worldly remedies is what I talked about this morning. Just join a church or pick a religion, and one's about as good as the other, and get that title and get that, you know, and you'll be all right. Israelite, Philistine, what's the big difference? There's a big difference. The apathy. I'm old. Married to a woman that's not. We find in the last few years of our ministry, because I've been out there so long, that a lot of the ministering we do in churches are to the pastor and his wife. Now, not so much to men that are my age or older, but to young fellows that's coming up. Brother Harold, help us with this. Boy, we're glad to share what the Bible says about it. We've done several couples retreats where couples from different churches come, Jimmy ministers to the lady, I minister to the men. But all I can tell you is what thus saith the Word of God. Just because I've been married 40 some odd years don't mean you know it. I know less probably now than I did when I first got married. I'm smarter now. Some things not worth fighting over. It don't matter. It ain't, winning is not going to get you anything. In fact, if you win against her, you probably lose it.
Amen.
Worldly remedies. You know, Isaiah said, the Lord said, my ways are not your ways. My ways are higher than your ways. But they went to the Philistines. Can you imagine this big Israeli soldier? Israelites, they're known for their fighting ability. They are. I mean, it took them 6 days to whip that crowd. You know, why? Because they had all that equipment rented, and if they went the 7 day, it doubled the rent. They said, I'm just messing with you. That hardly any way that's right. But imagine this huge Israeli soldier going down to Philistine and says, sir, could you build me a sword so later on I could cut your head off? Can you imagine that? That's what we're doing. When you have worldly remedies, you end up with wrong results. We got weak Christians. We got weak Christians. I mean, the littlest thing comes along. This hurts our feelings and just bends us out of shape. And we get all puffed up and angry, and pride comes up. You want to get a church split going, have a pitch-in meal, and not have a room on the table for every lady's bowl of green beans, so just rake one lady's bowl of green beans over another lady's bowl of green beans to make room. You now have a church split in the making. A hair pulling, eye scratching, cat fight of a church split over green beans. Yes, sir. Now tell me I'm not telling the truth. Yeah. We get worldly remedies, we get the wrong results. We got weak men, and we got weak women. There's a terrible shooting down in South Texas just a few years ago in a school. A young man kind of became famous for getting on television and ranting and raving. I don't remember his name. It doesn't matter. Hog. Is that it? It doesn't matter. We're on the internet, so it doesn't matter. He got on the in front of the news cameras, and he said this. He said, if Trump goes down there to build a wall, we're going to go tear it down. Now I looked at him. The top of his arm was about that big around. They eat Tide Pods and don't know which bathroom to go in. I do not see him going down to South Texas and picking up a 12-pound sledgehammer and working 8 hours to build, tear a wall down. I don't see that happening. It's not his fault. He didn't have a daddy that said, shut your mouth and sit down.
Amen.
That's what my daddy would have told me. I didn't know your daddy, but I would he get over and you got two ears and one mouth, listen twice as much you talk. We're raising this generation. Are you of snowflakes and basket weavers? Why? Because we've not given them any weapons. We gave them a phone. I got these Bibles back here, and I got Schofield's and Wide Margin and Giant Print and Super Giant Print. And I got some youth Bibles. I got one left, and I got some more to come in. And a lady come back. We was at a church. She had a child in each arm, and she come back, Brother Noble, how much are the youth Bibles? And I said, well, ma'am, they're $70. Now, that's a lot of money to pay for a Bible. I know that. The Bible cost me $19.99. I put a $50 cover on it. It cost $70. Now, that's a lot to pay, but in front of these children, she said, well, that's too much to pay for you a Bible. I'm not going to pay $70 for you to have a Bible. And I wanted to say I didn't, because I told you I'm gotten smarter. I wanted to say, well, ma'am, go down to Walmart and get them a $19 Bible. Get them one. You don't have to buy this one. In 2 months, when it's tore up, send it to me. I'll put a $50 cover on it. I wanted to say, well, how much does the Xbox at home cost? Huh? What, Nintendo, I don't know any of them now. What, how much does that cost, you know? That's not $14.95. I'm told they're around $300, $400. And the games, they're probably, what, $40, $50 a piece for the games? And they don't play it on a 17-inch black and white Zenith. Something that big, that wide, with a sound bar to get to level 2.
Yes, sir.
$1,000 to get to level 2. How's that going to help your child when they're on the playground at school and some little punk kid comes along and said, I stole 2 cigarettes out of my mom's purse. Let's go around here and smoke them. No, I can't go smoke a cigarette. I got to level 2. That's not going to help your child or your grandchild. You got to beat something into them. You got to put something into them that when they're out of your house and out of your sight and out of your hearing, well, that they've got something built into them, hammered into them, heated into them that will make them say, I can't do that because that's not what God wants me to do. The apathy, not having a Smith. How bad a shape are we in? Well, didn't start today. It didn't even start on election day. It started about 45, 50 years ago. And it wasn't a man. It was a woman. Her name was Madeline Murray O'Hare. And she single-handedly, there's young folk around today, preacher, that don't even know that name. She single-handedly removed prayers from the public schools of all 50 states in America. Pulled the prayer out, and we capitulated. We gave in. Listen to me. Why? Because there were no Smiths. There were no Smiths that said, that's not the way you build a child. Let me show you how you build a child. You build them with love and compassion and a little bit of paddling.
Amen.
Scriptural discipline.
Yes, sir.
You listen to me? The apathy of not having a Smith. When you have worldly remedies, which they did, you get wrong results. And when you get wrong results, you get weak resistance. Romania is a total communist country. We served there for several years. The people there have lost the ability to think for themselves. The government told them when to plant corn and how many rows to plant and gave them a piece of land to plant it on. Then they come and took part of that corn that they had raised. They told them how many hogs they could have and how many chickens they had. We get a certain amount of the eggs and you keep a certain amount of the eggs. And they lost the ability, the cognitive skill to think for themselves. Listen to me. We're just about there.
Yes, sir.
When's he coming back? In an hour, you think not. Now, there's two ways of looking at that. I don't think he's coming back today, or I've just quit thinking. And we've quit thinking because we have a GPS tell us where to go. And a phone to tell us this, and a computer to tell us this, and we don't do much thinking anymore because we've got, and I've got them all, and I'm thankful that I've got them. But if it went down, could we get where we were going and do what we needed to do if this thing went down? In an hour, you think not. The apathy. We need some folk. We need some mothers and daddies and grandparents to step up and say, this is not just Brother Mosley's church, this is my church.
Amen.
And I'm going to be a part of building this thing. I'm going to be a part of making something out of it, making something that will last through the battle, that will last beyond the war. I want to build my children. I want to build my Sunday school class. I want to build the bus route, whatever it is that you're building. I want to do this as a Smith, and if I don't have the skill, I'm going to pray to God that he gives me the skill, and I'm going to try my best to do it. No Smiths in the land. Father, I pray that you'd help us this evening. Lord, would you give us some Smith? Father, help me to be a Smith. Father, help me to build something in someone that will last. Something that will make a difference in their lives. Father, help me to build that. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Will you stand with us? What song was singing?
Just as I am.
Just as I am. You don't even need a book for that. Just as I am. You know it well. You need to find a place to pray tonight. You're welcome to come. Just as I am, without one plea, thy blood was shed for me, that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come.
Lamb of God,
sing it again. Just as I am, and waiting not. One dark blot to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot. I've been hanging around here a little bit today. There's a little fellow named William. Y'all know him? I didn't know his name, I had to ask. I probably knew and I forgot. He's a mess. Do you feel comfortable with him? You do, don't you? Do you think he feels comfortable in this atmosphere? Come run down here with a dollar. I didn't see the other men run down here with a dollar.
Amen.
Would to God we could build a generation that feels happy, happy, and comfortable in the house of God. Look, he'll learn one of these days he's not supposed to do that. Right now, it don't matter. It does not matter. He's raw material.
Amen. In
a gentle way, there needs to be some beating. You know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
Some straightening out, some sharpening.
Amen.
If you do it right, he'll grow up and be somebody in the church.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Then one day takes a leadership role. God bless you, Pastor.